Oh my god, I got that music loud. It's time for Dodger Baseball!
Almost.
Dude, it's on. I just got in the car and I listen to Sports Talk most of the time, and it was on that station. And they were. Vin Scully sounds dead. They need to stop fucking using that drop because they've cut it, and I'm sure they cut it in the last year they had him before he retired.
Right.
But he was so old and so ready to retire 10 years ago that he sounds insanely old. And don't get me wrong, one of, if not the best sportscasters ever in the history of ever. But right. Still, but it just seems like they're not doing him a service of playing that old shit.
Well, they have to have tape of him when he was young. Why don't they? He said that his whole career. Why don't they just use a better sample?
I think that every time I hear it, I hear it's like, it's time for Dodger Baseball. And I'm like, why the fuck don't they use something from like the 80s when he was still young and sounded right. better? It's, I'm sure true Dodger fans will be really pissed off at me right now, but I'm not a true Dodger fan, so I don't care. Because that's what I think.
I agree with you, though. They could use a younger drop.
Yeah. They've got audio on that guy forever. And even if it's not, you know, let's say it was on tape, they could digitally remaster it.
Right.
Oh, my God.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's how they start every single Dodger game and how they start, if you listen to that station at all, it's how they start every single Dodger promo, Dodger anything. It's always, it's time for Dodger Baseball! And the fucking promo starts, or it's game, or whatever it is. And it's like, God, use a newer one.
What does that station do in the off season?
Oh, well, here's what sucks. That's the Clear Channel one. So they fucking had to sell their soul to the devil to get that Dodger deal. And they had to give the right. Dodgers own either half or a chunk of that radio station. Their partners were Clear Channel in it.
Right, and it's the Dodger station, right?
All the fucking time. You know how boring baseball is during baseball season? It's right. even 20 times more boring outside of baseball season, and they That's talk about
what
it every day.
What is the programming? When it, for the last 3 months, what has the programming been?
Well, it's regular sports. Like, they've got their – I think they only have a few local shows. I think that's where Petros and Money are in the afternoon. So that's a local show, and they do local stuff. And, you know, and that show's very pop culture centric for a sports talk show. They do a lot of shit outside of sports. So those guys are on in the afternoon, but in the morning, they're just canned. It's Dan Patrick show. The guy used to be on ESPN, and now he's just kind of like syndicated all over. And then right after him into Colin Cowherd, who's a massive syndicated show. And then, you know, right after him, then they start with local. They have Fred Rogan and then Petros and Money. And at night, it's usually – they also have the Clippers, which is awful. And they also have – they carry USC. They're the USC station. So that
really?
Means if USC has a sport on, they carry it.
Like anything, basketball,
yes.
baseball, football?
Not necessarily baseball, but basketball for sure. And that's – college basketball outside of the March Madness tournament is fucking unwatchable, let alone unlistenable.
You know, right.
Oh, God. And so they run that.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who ever mentions college basketball outside of March Madness. You never hear any talk of it until March Madness.
When Alonzo was at UCLA, you heard some because he was like a phenom and people were real excited about him. So there was a little bit of talk about UCLA then. But also, neither one of those teams have been good for very long. You know, it's been a while right. since either of them have done, you know, UCLA is a legendary program, and they're not very good anymore. So.
And USC's got a lot of other shit that their focus is on right now.
They can't get out of their own fucking way. Every time you turn around, there's another fucking scandal at that place.
Yeah, totally. And this one is good.
It is. It's got everything you could ever want. It is at least a like after school special, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we're talking. It's got millions of dollars, celebrities,
rich, you know, rich, rich.
Yeah, rich, rich, rich. One of these parents, they said, spent a total of $2.1 million bribing to get into one.
I heard it was $6 million one parent spent.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that one.
Because some kids got Ivy League. Imagine, you know, some kids were into, like, fucking Yale and Stanford and shit like that.
But it's funny. Somebody at work said this, and it made sense. You go, you know, you could donate a couple million bucks to a school, and your kid would get in. Why bribe at that point? You know what I mean? Like,
it's weird. The whole thing shows how fucked up we are as a country that people would do that. Like, if I won the lottery and had hundreds of millions of dollars, I would do everything I possibly could to get my daughter into a good school, as far as giving her tutors, having someone study with her on the SATs, and I wouldn't cheat or have her get in there on,
or pay the tuition of whatever it might be, you know.
And
you
fuck it. If I really had that money, I would buy, if I had to buy a building, and it's like she said, hey, I want to go to USC, and I had the money to buy a building. Guess what? When you buy a building, you get in. Like, they'll let you in. They'll let your kids in. It's kind of like a handshake buddy deal. But when you commit fraud, massive fraud, everyone's going to prison.
You fake that your kid's in a sport that they're not really in. I mean, like, there was some crazy
one of those kids they wrote down as a USC basketball recruit, and he was 5'5".
Yeah, and the kids who never rowed, who were on the rowing team, and the soccer kids.
And they airbrushed all of them. Yeah, UCLA got popped.
Photoshopped them into photos.
UCLA got popped in the soccer.
Okay, that's how they – yeah, because it was this one dude, right, who was kind of then finding people at the schools that these people wanted to send their kids to that he would bribe, right?
Yeah.
He was kind of middlemanning
it all. He was taking – he also had – if you went with him, I'm sure you paid some huge fee to, like, he was like a consultant. And by the way, we have a lady like that right now. We have a lady right now that is like a, almost like a counselor that Juliana meets with, and she talks to her and she tells her to get your grades up and work on this and work on that. And you should volunteer here and guides her on.
Right. Okay.
But you know, it stops there, and it's not tens of thousands or even thousands of dollars. It's a very small fee, and they kind of just sort of like a guidance counselor almost at that process. So I imagine he was like that, but with a really fat fee. And then he had – so let's say your kid was with him. There were two places in the country he had people paid off at the SAT centers, and one was in West Hollywood and one was somewhere else. And if you had to fly your kid in for that, you flew your kid in for that, and the fix was in. And he had what's the other one? The ACT? Is that
ACT whatever, yeah.
So he had a couple of people in there, and they got $10,000 per test when a kid came in for him.
And they said that he made over $21 million over the length of this scamming. So he was.
Yeah, and then whatever he had to pay the coaches or the insiders he had at that school.
Well, that coach they arrested in North Hollywood, I can't remember where she was, the coach that said she made $400,000 off of one of these.
Fuck. You know, I looked at it as politically, I stepped back and I thought, who here is a lefty lib and who here is a righty conservative? In my opinion, the ringleader, that dude out of Newport Beach, is a righty. He's dirty, like making money, pay off business, fuck whatever. Yet those fucking people that are cheating, scamming, and bribing to get their kids in to get what they want are the fucking lefties. And I think I'm probably right. I would love to know where all these people lean politically, because it's kind of the way some people, like, everything's fine, but oh, I can totally do this, and it's okay. The shit you can justify, depending on your beliefs, your belief system. You know, what is okay to you to do?
I don't think they would ever justify it now. I think they just thought they'd get away with it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you're like, I'm bribing the school. It's not like I'm getting my kid out of
I don't think they thought they were bribing. I think they thought, I'm just making sure my kid has a good future and giving them the best chance to get into a good school. It didn't help that one kid – that one actress's kid, the Full House lady, fucking was like, I don't want to really go to school. I just want to party.
Yeah, and she's like some influencer girl who has like a couple million followers or something, so people knew who she was.
And you know what? Honestly, if that kid is already like that on YouTube, she doesn't need college. She doesn't.
Well, I mean, 2 million followers can get you only so far. I mean, look at Kim Kardashian has like 50 million or something
like
that.
But I'm saying at some point, worst case scenario – if it all goes away, she's going to be able to work somewhere as, you know, a social media person for a company or something like that. Like, that kid's going to end up with job skills that she – it looks really good on paper, and that's what those parents want. I graduated from USC,
right,
even though that right. kid would have probably not used that degree, whatever it was going to be in.
No, it shows you that it's all about just saying of where you graduated from, not necessarily yeah. what you learned.
No, totally. I know, like – it's now they some places ask for your GPA and your, you know, grades while you're in college.
Right.
But for the most part, did you graduate? Yeah, done.
Right.
You know, depending on what you're doing.
And then it's networking with alumni.
See, and USC is the best in the world at that.
Like, right.
Hands down, you want placement through alumni, you go to USC.
Right. Yeah. They're always been known for that.
Yeah. They're phenomenal at looking out for each other and hooking each other up.
But that school has gone through so much shit in the last, what, 10 years?
You know, this week one of their students was murdered, too, over yes, there in that University of South Central.
That kid was, too, they said he came from Oakland and he was like, he felt like, you know, Oakland wasn't safe. And he was like, I'm trying to better, you know, make my life better and get to USC. And I think his mom was a council person up in Oakland. And then he just got shot and robbed.
Yeah. Fucking, but... Yeah. That neighborhood is bad.
But that is the thing that's always amazed me about USC is that it's in the shittiest area. UCLA is in Brentwood. You know?
One of my good friends.
UCLA butts up against the Playboy Mansion.
I know.
And USC butts up against the set for Boys in the Hood.
And yet, USC is a way more prestigious school.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
no,
crazy.
For sure.
Yeah, you're right. UCLA is in the most beautiful high-end neighborhood in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And Holmby Hills is right on the backside. It is right there. God.
And in fact, I'm trying to think of another college in a shittier area because you have like...
Georgetown is legendarily in a bad neighborhood, but, you know, it's not around here.
Right. I'm trying... But that's in Boston, right?
No, D.C.
Oh, that's in D.C. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, D.C. is bad.
Yeah, exactly. But that happened. I get even like when USC was built, think about it. Downtown was where all business happened. It was just adjacent to downtown, which was probably really cool that
and
they were close there.
At that point.
There was nothing else there. It was probably orange groves and cow fields and shit, everything else.
Right, right.
And then the shit just grew up around them. And they were stuck.
But they should really look into moving.
They should flatten that fucker and sell it and just move to the west side.
Or somewhere else.
Yeah, no shit. Move to the valley.
Or just, you know, like even just Southern California is big. You could be the University of Southern California in a lot of areas that aren't even developed yet.
God, I know.
And it wouldn't be a shithole.
God.
I remember when I was in when I was in college, I had a friend who was going to USC and the battery got stolen out of his car. kids wouldn't go, like they'd go party other places. They'd get, cause campus was bad. It's always been bad over there.
Oh my God.
Remember that Chinese student was killed not that long ago. What was that? 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah. Like it happens every now and then. Like the kid gets killed over there. Cause you know why? People get murdered over there. Cause it's fucking South Central. The hood don't play.
Right. Right.
Oh, God. It could happen.
You heard about a kid getting murdered at San Luis Obispo.
Yeah. And you know what? If you did, it would have been like some other kid bullshit. Right. You know,
it would have been a drunken something.
Or a love triangle. Well, remember when the rich kid mowed down all the kids at Santa Barbara?
Yeah, that's right.
That it would be some shit like that. It wouldn't be, I was walking out of the fucking McDonald's and some dude shot me for my wallet. God. Yeah, it's bad news, but. I'm still dying. Oh, no. Did I lose you, Jack?
No. You were fine last time I spoke with you. Have you got something?
It's because I'm sleeping. I finally, after all this time, I seriously have my schedule dialed in now.
Did you get the other job?
Oh, God, no. We have to
go. Oh, it fell apart in the last week. When you talked last time, you were like,
I do.
It looks like it's going to start in a couple days or whatever.
Okay. Here is what has happened. And I'm going to give a theory on this, which will be very politically incorrect, and that's how I'm going to roll. All right. The one job, remember the airline job, I talked to them, and that was just like, off.
He knew. It was supposed to be the other rehab you were going to go
to. So the guy called me. I went in and interviewed, recommended by the owners of the place, who are former clients from where I used to work.
Okay.
I know them well. They love me. And think about this. Think about you go through rehab and you come out the other side, and the people that get to, especially if it sticks and you succeed, you have a really tight bond to people that helped you through that process. And it's a very traumatic experience for 30 days of your life. Now, those people may not remember you because they see people every day and 5 minutes. Like, I'm not kidding. There's an AA meeting in Palisades. And just now, it's on right now. It's happening right now. And I was at Gelson's. I had to run and grab something. And I saw it happening or whatever. I've been in that Gelson's before. And someone has run up and just started hugging me going, Mike, oh, my God. It's so, and I don't fucking remember who they are. That's right, happened to me.
You work with a lot of people.
And some you remember and some you'll remember forever. But others you just you know they're nice people, but you forget their names. So those guys love me. And then another friend of mine was wanting me to go over there because she wants to go over there. We work together, and she's fucking awesome, and her and I are really tight. She is lesbian, by the way. That plays into the story. So, and her and I are really tight, and she was wanting me to go. I then called him, and he didn't return my call, and he didn't answer me at first. And I thought that was fucking weird. And I left like 3 messages. Hey, what's going on? And I had emailed the owner. The owner had emailed me. I emailed the owner. He's like, hey, here's my guy. Here's his number. He deals with all this stuff. Go with it. I'm like, all right, cool. So I emailed the guy. The guy, by the way, is gay.
Okay.
And I didn't know that till I interviewed with him. So I go in. We have the interview. And when I get over there, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 people I've worked with at my last job.
Okay.
All of them are gay. Every single one of them are gay. And so he finally, after like having his arm twist, I'm starting to figure out, calls me back and says, oh, let's interview. We interview. And when I go in, the owner's there and everyone's there and they're all happy to see me. Blah, blah, blah. My coworkers were all happy to see me. And then we go over money, we go over everything. And he gave me a start date. Hey, can you come in on Thursday and start training? Yes. And then he fucking ghosted me. Like, ghosted me. Never called me back. And then I called him the start day and I'm like, hey, what time am I supposed to come in today? What's happening? Not a word for 6 weeks. Now, my friend who wants to go over there, who still wants to go over there and wants me to go over there, and her and I are fucking really tight, has been hounding me. What's going on there? When are you going? What's happening? And I told her, the guy's not returning my call, and he stopped calling me back. I don't think he wants to hire me. I think it just fell apart, like, whatever. And she goes, well, call the owner. And I'm like, look, I'm not calling him right now and going over the guy that's going to be my boss's head to get to start a job. That's not a place I want to work. I'm not doing that. I go, so fuck it. If it's dead, it's dead. So I know she fucking put heat on somebody because he called me again, and I think he called me and said, hey, are you still interested in coming here? Which was, well, yeah, like, what the fuck?
Right.
Okay, I think he thought I was going to say no. Like, because you ghosted me and you're a fucking clown, I'm not coming there.
Right.
So when I said yeah, and he was like, oh, okay, well, let's meet. And I was like, how about Thursday? He goes, perfect, all right, this time. All right, so that was the day after we recorded. He's ghosted me again. I called him. I didn't hear from him on Thursday. Like, he never gave me a time. So once again, I text him, hey, what time are we meeting today? Doesn't respond to the text. Call and leave a voicemail. Hey, it's Mike. What time am I supposed to come in today? What's happening? Let's move forward with this. Get this done. Da, da, da.
Right.
Has not yet returned the fucking phone call. It's been 1 week.
That's weird.
No, he doesn't want me to be there. Now, in my step back politically incorrect opinion, his entire staff is gay. He doesn't want my big fucking homophobe ass in there for what he may think I am. I don't know. It's the only thing I can think.
But he would have references from, you know, all those other people. So
no. You wouldn't believe. And you know what's funny? That he had clients that I had that were there that I knew, and they were fucking over the moon to see me when I walked in.
Right.
He even said, oh my God, you know everyone. He goes, you know my staff and my clients, and da da da. and we talked and everything seemed cool. I can only think he obviously does not want me. It is not a priority for me to be there. And now here's another thing where I go on the gay angle. In the meantime of all of this happening, there's a guy that I used to work with at my old place that I work with now at my new place.
Okay.
Little gay Asian guy. He and I had talked and he's like, and I told, he's like, I got to get out of here. I'm like, yeah, me too. And I told him, hey, I'm talking to these guys at blah, 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 because so-and-so's over there and so-and-so's over there. And he goes, oh, cool. All right. Since then, in the meantime of me being ghosted, they not only have talked to him and hired him, and he's now working over there, and he was after I was already supposed to start.
Right.
He didn't even talk to him. And he's over there. And he's another gay guy. Huh. So I don't know. It's a fucking weird thing. It's either a gay click thing going on where he doesn't want me. And it's not like I was in there saying like I hate fags or something. And no. Every coworker I have fucking loves me. Like I have a really good relationship with all of those people. I had no bad blood with any of them. They were all fucking really cool coworkers. There was one dude I hated.
You knew everybody. He was worried maybe you'd try and take his job at some point.
There's some reason, and I don't know what it is. But there is some reason. And I was – and none of them – I was a manager and none of them were.
Right. And so maybe he's worried you're going to want to come in there and take his thing and –
I'm convinced I could.
Right.
I'm convinced I could take over. You know what? And someone might have even said that to him. Someone might have said, hey, Mike will come in here and if he's this laxed and this unprofessional – I would have run circles around that guy and I would have fucking taken over. That's fucking given. Maybe somebody told him that.
Maybe.
But I don't know. It's fucking weird. But yeah, he totally ghosted me again. So now, absolutely, no matter what, if he called me tomorrow and offered me double the money, I'm not going there.
Right.
Because I don't want to be somewhere I'm not wanted. Typically, when someone's trying to get you to come over to their place, they're like, they're extra nice. They're fake nice. Or, you know, they're over the top giving you shit or trying to hook you up with stuff and, hey, let's do this or... let's go eat something to eat something. Like this guy just, yeah, awesome. Let's talk tomorrow. Goodbye. Not returning calls. It's fucking weird. And the whole gay angle is fucking weird. That everyone that works there is gay. And since he's was supposed to bring me in, he brought another gay guy that I work with over there.
Right.
It's fucking weird. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it's strange. There's definitely something, and if it's not that, he just didn't like me and doesn't want to hire me, you know? And that's possible, too. There's people that your personality won't gel with.
Right.
Like, I can talk to someone and be like, oh, yeah, me and this dude are not fucking friends.
Usually then either they make up an excuse or just tell you, you know, like, oh, sorry, the boss made me hire somebody else. We decided not to fill that position. There's a lot of ways out where you don't just
go. He doesn't have that way out. He's got two owners who fucking love me, and I like them. One of them is one of my all-time favorite clients. Like, I really like that guy, and we bonded very well when I was with that guy. And one of them is really – so I know they've asked where I am.
Right.
And so I think the only way out for him was to say, oh, he doesn't want to come here. He got something else. You know what I mean?
Right.
And at one point when he was dragging, I even called him and said, hey, I've got another interview going on. I want to let you know, like, because I was at that time. Put this way, this started, I was still interviewing for the LMU job when this happened.
Right.
That's how long ago this was. Another job I didn't get. By the way, I'm now a professional interviewer, not getter of fucking jobs. And this has never happened in my life. I've always had an interview, got the job. Always. I've had like the last four interviews I've had, I didn't get the job. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that is the odds are in your favor for the next one, I guess.
No, I'm starting to think not. But also, I think some of them have been that I will tell you right now, like, I think the LMU job and the other ones, they didn't want someone my age. Because the, like, manual labor, like, bullshit, you walk and you see an old dude, you're like, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like, I think at that point, they're like, yeah, no. I also think that's what happened with I didn't tell you this. After I told the dude when I found out how much the job was at the Southwest, and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't do that or whatever.
Right.
All right. They sent me a letter telling me they didn't want me. I was like, you cannot want me. I don't want you.
Yeah, I not wanted you first.
Yes. They sent me a letter. Yeah, sorry, we've decided to go forward with someone else. So either he wrote something on the thing or whatever, or I failed their interview.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I am a professional interviewer, not getter now, as far as also an industry killer. You know what is weird? My son is a chip off the old block. He got on that first show he was on FX, the Justified.
Right.
Last season. Killed it. It's over. The show is done. They knew it was last season going in, though. And then the son, he went on, and they were like, hey, cool, you can come back. And this, and they didn't kill his character, and, like, you can go. Fucking now, after that beef, they decided to finally get to run the episodes rather than eat all that money. But they're billing it as, it's the last season of The Sun coming April whatever to AMC. So,
did they film, like, one more episode to wrap it up then?
No.
No, they're just going to run it like they were going to and then end it? I mean, they didn't...
He taped this in 2017.
No, I know, but you would think if they decided not to go any further with it, they'd tack on one last episode that wrapped everything up.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the producers or Pierce Brosnan or both or whoever it is, but at some point before they... And it was smart of the network. They're like, all right, let's get a deal together for the next season. And when they realized they weren't going to get a deal together or get what they wanted, they're like, fuck you, before they even aired the second season. Because
right.
What if it would have ran and, like, got really good numbers or been a big hit? Then they would have felt on the hook. So they played to their advantage, the network did.
Where is it airing now?
It is on AMC. It will be on AMC April something, middle
okay,
of April.
Okay, well, there's still a chance it could be a big hit.
It could be a big hit, but it's done. Like, it's in every promo. It says, in the final season of The Sun.
Okay, right.
That's how they're running it. Yeah. So... It is dead, dead, dead. And I think they knew. Here's what I think happened. I think Pierce Brosnan only agreed to do two seasons and didn't want to do any more, didn't want to be that guy. And the initial plan, that's a chain of books.
Oh,
and
okay.
This, it goes through and it starts in the early 1800s and then goes into the early 1900s. And it should have wrapped up, and then it was supposed to shift from his character as the kid, and then it ends up in the end, there's a girl in the family that's running the whole empire in the modern, it goes all the way to modern day in the books.
Okay.
And I think they were supposed to follow it, and they didn't want to follow it. They wanted to stay with the Western and keep it going, and Pierce wouldn't do it, so they were done.
Right.
But that's what I think. My kid didn't even know anything about it. Oh, God. Oh, and then I had very exciting stuff happen at work on Tuesday.
Okay.
I have, and I can't put it online because I will get fired, but I finally have – I pretty have pretty good footage of the ghost on security camera walking out
really?
Of a wall. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I got two really good things. And in one night, it just all of a sudden started popping. It started going crazy, and I'm out of the corner of my eye. I kept seeing shit on camera. I kept seeing things. And you will see, oh, it's ghost shit. You see, like, orbs. But
right.
Okay. And when I watch those ghost shows, I'm like, that's a fucking bug. That's right. Not an orb. It's a bug or a dust particle or whatever or a spider web. And there's a million things it could be. So I'm never a believer in those. And I see them all the time on the cameras. I see little fucking some straight up balls of light. Some I've filmed, put onto my kit because I'll film it onto my phone from the security cameras at work when I see something really cool.
Okay.
And I have filmed a few orbs that were very interesting, and the day I heard the guy screaming, I saw four orbs at the same time moving across the screen right before that happened, and that was interesting. Like, wow, that's weird. And then another day, I saw another one right before the giant doors opened and slammed. Like, it's almost like they consider it to be like a manifestation of energy or whatever, that you'll see an orb.
Okay.
A lot of them are bullshit. So... I don't put too much into them. On the night, I saw, kept seeing shit moving, kept seeing fucking orbs on camera, like balls and weird things moving around. And then at one point, right out of the wall, you see it's like the lower half of a person. You see their legs step out of the wall, take one step, take two steps, and then you see as they're taking the third step, they just dissolve into nothing. It's really cool. Coolest thing I've ever personally captured. So it's pretty cool to see. And then about an hour later, as I kept looking at the screen at that point, I'm like, wow, I've never seen anything like that. And I keep looking at the screen and I keep seeing orbs and stuff. And then I see an orb coming straight towards the camera from across from the hallway towards the camera.
Okay.
And it's halfway to the camera and boom, fucking light turns on in the hallway. The light just fucking turns on. And it's, there's no timers on any lights in that room. There's no one down there. There's six people in that house, all sound the fuck asleep, and me upstairs at the control panels watching the cameras and sitting at the desk. There's not a living soul downstairs when that light turned on. And I went down there, and the light was on, but you can see on the camera, and I recorded that one on my camera too. You just see in the background, you see the ball coming, doop, and then also poof, you see a light come on, and the hallway light just lights up. And it's pretty weird. So that was pretty cool stuff. That just happened two nights ago.
You get to live your own ghost show.
Yeah, no shit. By the way, those ghost shows go for one day. You know, one day of filming in a ghost house. Right. I have weeks at a time, even at work, which is haunted as fuck, where there's nothing happens. Weeks.
Right.
Usually I hear something, but, you know, it's also a big fucking house and it echoes and has 50, 60 foot ceilings in the entryway. That there's a lot of echoey shit going on with marble floors. You're gonna get noises. So a lot of it's nothing. Maybe it is something some days, but I go still weeks without even anything suspicious happening, and then I see stuff. So when those guys go in on one day and sit there, they're not gonna get shit most of the time.
Right.
Really rare. I would be more surprised if they did get something. God. But that is fun.
What now you have to figure out how to summon the ghost.
No, I don't want that.
And control it.
I don't want that.
Bring your Ouija board.
I dropped my phone and cracked my screen. One of those fucking pissy days. But I have the shatterproof shield, so that's not cracked. But underneath it, I can tell my screen is fucked up.
That sucks.
Yeah, time for a new phone, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking A.
What kind of phone is it?
iPhone 6 Plus.
Oh, how come iPhones are the only ones that get shattered screens? I don't know anybody with a Samsung who ever shatters their screen.
Yeah. I just was at the fucking Amazon store here in Palisades, and they have a really cool section. They have a phone in there that's freaking cool, and it was like $200 or $300. Like,
I thought Amazon was closing all their stores.
Oh, this one just opened.
I read that Amazon was rethinking and was going to get rid of all its little Amazon, whatever they call those.
God, I love that store. I've used it. You just walk in there with if you get an Amazon package you don't want it, you just walk in there and go, hey, I want to send this back. And they bloop, 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 done. It's freaking been cool when they handle it all. I've done that a couple times, and they have those cool gadgets. It's weird. It's a fucking bookstore. Like, who the fuck buys books anymore?
Right.
It's a bookstore, but then they sell on the other side all the Ring stuff, all the robot vacuum stuff. They have really cool gadgets in there. But it's funny,
there's still a Barnes & Noble in Burbank, and every time I go in there, there's people in there.
Oh, God. I thought we got this thing called Vintage Grocers, which is next door to the Amazon store.
I know what that is. There's one of those in Westlake Village.
Fucking bullshit, by the way. It's the most expensive ass-raping store I've ever been in my life. And I thought it was going to put Gelson's out of business. And I just went to Gelson's because I have drama in my house and I had to have this and this and this right now. Right. So I ran in there. Gelson's was overflowing packed.
I think that Vintage Grocers is even too expensive for rich people.
I'm not kidding. My daughter, of course, wants stuff in there because that's how she rolls. And I went in there. She had asked for something. And I was like, on principle, I can't buy this. Like, I'm not paying that for this. Like, let's just say you could go in there and they have fresh baked goods and stuff.
Right.
Like, a muffin's going to be like $6. I'm not fucking doing that. It's just not going to fucking happen.
Like, that's how I feel about those stupid gourmet cupcakes, too. When you go to those, like, we have a place down the street from us here, and they sell cupcakes, and they're like $6 a pop. And there's nothing extremely special about them. They're not any bigger than a normal cupcake. They have a little more frosting, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not paying $6 for one cup. I could get a dozen donuts.
You could also get a dozen cupcakes for like $4.99 if you go to Ralph's.
Right, that's true. If I went to the market and went,
yeah,
and they'd be just as good.
Yeah, it's not like you would take the. God, you know who has the best fucking cupcakes in the world? Is Costco. Those are fucking delicious. Those Costco cupcakes are
all
good.
All Costco baked goods are good. That stupid butt cake they have that's chocolate with chocolate icing and is like one of the best.
Yeah, and that shit's cheap. And those Costco cupcakes are giant. They have those huge ones. Yeah, that's crazy. Do you know my Ralph's? I'm really pissed at them right now, but I almost never go there. I only go to Malibu now. I always go on my way home from work. I'll stop and get shit I need. So I go to the Malibu Ralph's a lot, but I popped into the Palisades one. Last time I went in, they were remodeling.
Right.
Trying to catch up. Well, they fucking reorganized it all. Like, so I don't know where anything is in the store. And by the way, they just did that to Malibu too. Malibu did theirs quickly, but now I don't know where anything is, and that's been my store. Right. Like, every fucking aisle is just, why would you do that? I have no idea why you would fuck a grocery store up like that. And that pissed me off. But at least at the one in Malibu, it's still, they just, you know, redid the floors and rearranged everything. That's what they did. Right. That's what I noticed, at least, what it looked like to me. But the fucking one here in Palisades, they took out they still have the deli counter, but they don't sell anything anymore. They only sell, like, cold cuts. They don't sell, like, you know, like hot chicken.
Oh, like food, like sandwiches and stuff.
The shit that they made there, like the roasted chicken and the fried chicken and all that stuff, that's all gone. The soups. They have a salad bar. They still have the salad bar, but there's nothing else served, like, there's no hot food served there anymore. Isn't that fucking weird?
Yeah, that is weird. The other day at work, I asked them, I needed, like, one thing, and I was like, hey, where's a normal supermarket around here? Because all I know of, like, close to my work is a Gelson's and a Mendocino Farms. And I'm like, no, I want, like, Ralph's or Vons.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, there's a Vons right around the corner. So I go, and it's actually behind the Gelson's and Mendocino Farms. And I walk into this Vons, and no one's in there, and there's three cashiers just standing. And I'm like, it's like, is this place getting robbed? It's weird. So I go get my one item, and I have three open cash registers to pick from with nobody at them. I check out in like 2 seconds, walk out, and I get back to work. I'm like, that was the weirdest thing ever. There was nobody in, and it's a fucking normal size Vons.
You know what, though? That's a weird upscale white neighborhood.
Yeah, and Gelson's is always packed.
Yeah, and those people are fucking like, they're like the original Prius drivers, the fucking smug pricks that were like, oh, I'm saving the world.
Oh,
they're that breed of people, and they, oh, I'm only going to Gelson's. I have healthy, organic, better-for-you food than Vons and Ralph's.
And see, I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'm not overpaying at Gelson's. I want Vons or Ralph's.
Do you know, I went to Gelson's just now. My wife, shocker, is sick, and she said, wanted me to go get orange juice and crackers for her. And she said,
but isn't orange juice like $48 at Kelsey's? Okay.
And she said, but never mind, you're going to get the cheap stuff, and I don't want that. That was her thing. So I go, I'll go to Gelson's. You'll pay more, so you'll be happy. Guess how much it was for less than it was not a gallon of orange juice. It looked to be about a half gallon jug, but it was the kind that she wanted.
And $11.
And I got that and a box of Nabisco saltine crackers. And the smallest cup they have, halfway filled, of their pre-made soup, chicken noodle soup.
You were $25 in.
Almost. Yeah. 20, 21 and change.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And the soup alone was $6.50, and the fucking orange juice was $11.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm telling you, there's no difference. When I buy the Vons brand orange juice for $3-4 a bottle or whatever it is, you couldn't tell me in a taste test that $11 juice would taste any better than my $4 juice.
Last week or the week before, Duke and I went to lunch, and I was in Burbank. And we went to lunch, and then
– where'd you go in Burbank?
We went to Shakey's because that's how I roll.
Bunch of lunch.
Yeah, and while we were over there, there was something I needed, and I know Empire Center has Walmart, and I fucking love Walmart. I never get to go to. So I go, let's go to Walmart. I got to get whatever, whatever. And Duke was like, oh, cool. I need some grocery stuff anyway. So I'm buying, and then I'm with him. So now we're in the grocery section and we're buying stuff. And right. he's like, well, oh, he goes, the only thing I want is the Tajava, the tea.
Okay.
And I said, I don't think Walmart has that. I've been into Walmart before, and I don't think they carry that. It's only in Ralph's and Vaughn's and stores like that. And he goes, well, let's see. So we go, and of course they don't have it. So and okay. we buy a few things. But then we get to the back aisle, and there's that section that's refrigerated. It's by the juice, and it's a gallon milk jug. And it says unsweetened iced tea, and it was like $1.20, and it was a gallon. Right. And he's yeah, like, he goes, Dad, I should totally get this. And I go, that's going to be disgusting instant. And he picks it up, and he reads it, and it says fresh brewed iced tea.
Right.
And right. so I'm like, yeah, you're fucking crazy. And he goes, well, it's only $1.27. I'm going to get it. So we get it, and as soon as we get in the car, he's like, I'm thirsty. I'm going to drink this fucking iced tea right now. So he yeah. opens it up, and he chugs it, and then he's like, holy shit, this stuff is fucking good. And I'm like, what? And I have a cup in the car, and he goes, here, taste it. It was fucking delicious. It was like Tajava good, and it's the cheap-ass, it was $1.27 for a right, gallon like in a milk jug.
Brand,
yes, and it was their brand, whatever that Price Right, yeah. whatever it is called, the, right. the Costco brand. It was as good or better than Tajava. So then he's freaked out, and he's like, there's got to be something wrong with this. And he starts reading the label, and he's like, it's got glucose, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's probably a preservative for the shelf, yeah. but it was fresh brewed tea.
I buy the Target brand tea bags to make iced tea with.
Yeah.
Trust me, they taste just like the Lipton bags. And the yeah. difference is for the big box of 48 or whatever it is,
yeah.
it's $1.99 for the Target ones, and it's four something for the Lipton. So for half the price,
yeah.
you can't taste the difference.
I buy some Ralph's cheap, generic brand, and I buy a box of tea bags for $1.27 and fucking make tea all the time.
Yeah, tea is tea,
yeah.
and it's really hard to make it taste
so like. That is my cheap tea tip. If you go to fucking
awesome.
If you go to fucking Walmart, go to the back corner, get the cold in the milk jug, 1 gallon unsweetened iced tea, and it's delicious. I wish I had one. I would go buy more.
I hate that Walmart though.
And that's not a gigantic. It's not a huge Walmart.
It's a decent sized store.
It's not small, but it's not. I've been in them where it's like a fucking block. Where you're right. like, holy shit, this is the biggest store I've ever been to.
That thing was the Great Indoors before, that massive furniture store.
Yeah, that's a waste.
yeah, and it didn't last long. It was there for a couple of years. But it's a big, I mean, like, it's half food section, half everything else, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
But it gets crowded. and,
oh, my God.
And the checkout process is always a pain in the ass.
Duke said to me, why don't you go to Target? And I go, because I'm not paying expensive prices. I'm going to Walmart where my people yeah. shop.
I go to Target, and it's not that much more expensive, and I don't have the stress.
You know what? To be honest, the food at Walmart, not that cheap. There's a couple things that you get really good deals on, like their brand of iced tea or their brand of cheap right. shit. But other than that, they're pretty much the same as everybody else. There's some things, but in fact, they're more.
That's the same as Target. You can get yeah. a good deal on Target brand stuff, which I don't mind. It's Market Pantry or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I said, I buy their tea bags and I'll buy their, you know. But, you know, then they're the same price on everything else. You want a loaf of Wonder Bread, it's the same price yeah. as everywhere else.
Yeah, same as – and if maybe 10, 20 cents difference one way or the other.
Here or there on certain things. But yeah. I'll tell you what – at Target, you can always get really good deal, like on eggs and cheese and stuff. Like that's usually cheap. Wow. Like there, at least the Target over there by the Walmart has got a full on grocery store.
You Have know? You been into that fake Target on Hollywood Way yet?
Yes.
What is it?
Thing was sick. It's like a glorified CVS. So it has a pharmacy. It has, and then it has just a few. Like it has a few aisles of. Random home items like some sheets and some plates and some cookware, but not a lot of anything.
Yeah.
And it's got some clothes, like a small selection of baby clothes, women's clothes, men's clothes, and kids' clothes. It's got one aisle of toys, one aisle of books. You know, it's just for like if you needed an emergency, you needed a gift for somebody and you were in yeah. a hurry, you could do it there. If I was here and I was like, oh shit, I need a measuring cup. I could go there, you know, but you yeah. can't get full on Target stuff.
Yeah. And it's so weird because that full on Target is 2 miles, 3 miles at the most.
And same with the food selection. If I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to get Bing lunch stuff. Yeah. I can go to that little Target and buy lunch stuff, but I couldn't do all my grocery shopping there.
Got you. I found
they only have a limited selection of stuff.
I have a coworker who I worked the same shift as, so we never worked together. But now with our houses, one of our houses being closed for now, they double us up one night. Sometimes I work with somebody, sometimes I don't. There's just three people, two houses.
Okay.
And there's a
two girls, one cup.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a girl that I finally have just worked with her, and I've worked the same place with her for over a year now, but the first time I've worked a shift with her was last week, and we were talking, and she said, somehow we said something about Target, and she goes, yeah, I've got one right by my house, a little one that I walk to at Hollywood Way, and I'm like, where do you live?
She's like my neighbor.
Yeah, well, dude, she said, I live in Burbank, and I'm like, really? I go, my friend lives on Chandler on the bike path. And she goes, so do I, right by Sizzler. And I'm like, holy shit, you're neighbors with my buddy.
You know, my mom lives in the building by Sizzler. She could possibly live in my mom's building.
That's funny. Yeah, this girl's hard to miss.
Sizzler, I think I told you. So the kids and I went the other day. We're like, sad. God, we haven't been to Sizzler in a long time. And the salad bar just sucks ass now.
Was it not a weekend? Because on the weekend, it's the old salad bar. On the non-weekends, it sucks ass.
It was a weekend, but it was like lame meatballs, tortillas, some weird cheesy pasta. Like, they hardly had anything.
Did they have the chicken wings still? The fried chicken?
Yeah, but it looked like it had been sitting. You know, that one doesn't get very busy anymore. I have a feeling stuff doesn't turn over very quickly. The salad bar was a mess.
How long do you think Sizzler has till it's gone?
Well, rumor has it that the one in Burbank, that they're raising the rent whenever their lease is up, and they're not going to stay. So whenever the lease is up, I think that Sizzler's gone because, like I said, my mom lives next door to it, and they know the manager, and he said that a big rent increase is coming and that it's going to force them out.
I just read somewhere that the last Blockbuster ever is it one out of business, so now there's only one left in the entire world that's in Alaska? And
they called it on the radio the other day.
Oh, that's
no, funny. I don't think it's in Alaska. I think the one that was in Alaska went out of business.
Oh, but so now there's one left.
They talked to the guy at the last
Blockbuster. Or it's like Washington or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
I think it's some weird boonie community.
And he said, the guy they talked to, he said, there's eight of us, because they were like, you're like a unicorn. You're the last employee. And he's like, well, there's eight of us who work here. And
oh, God. Talk about job security. Yeah, I work at the last Blockbuster on Earth. God, that's going to be me. I should go get a job there. It'll go out of business immediately. Oh, my God. Uh-oh.
Hello?
There you are. I lost you for a second.
Yeah, I had a little alert come up. Said there was a problem with the connection, but now it is better.
Now it is gone. Gone.
Yeah, I don't know who needs block. You know what? I hardly even go to Redbox anymore. I do it more just for – so Bing and I have something to do. I'm like, you want to go to – you know, because we can like ride our bikes or walk there. And it's an actual activity.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could get all the same movies on demand on my TV and pay $2 more than Redbox and have that not go anywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm still I've been Mr. Roku lately. Even though what's weird, the shows I watch, for whatever reason, they post full episodes to YouTube.
Oh, so you could watch them
on there. Yeah, if you just run like Oak Island or you run fucking Ghost Adventures or any of those shows, they're all full episodes up on YouTube. So I watch YouTube a lot lately now that I put Roku back here.
Maybe they've figured with monetizing YouTube, they can make equally as much money as, you know.
The Ghost Show, I noticed what they do. The Ghost Show just puts up like a whole feed, commercials and all, on YouTube, ran.
Right. So maybe they even get credit from their advertisers for putting it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's strange. And I'm sure a lot of it's bootleg fans just putting it up and they haven't been caught yet and taken down. But I've watched all of my shows on there. Next week is the week for – I watched today when I got home before I went to bed, I watched The Curse of Oak Island. Next week's the week. Next week shit happens, Jack. I can tell by the previews.
isn't the last episode.
They find shit next week.
Yeah, I'll believe it.
It is on and popping next week. I have watched on YouTube, too, the weird... Did I talk about the weird dude that... The archaeologist dude on the last podcast?
No, I don't think so.
Fucking fascinated by this. And it's easy to call complete horseshit on it all, but it's also very interesting. There is a dude, and he was... I think he was like a doctor, I'm pretty sure, here in Tennessee.
Okay.
And his name was, I think, Ron Wyatt. And he was a real religious dude and decided he would go out. And in like a 10-year window, he discovered, he discovered Noah's Ark. He discovered the actual real city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the actual spot in the Red Sea where Moses parted the Red Sea at fleeing Egypt when the Jews were fleeing captivity.
But how does he know that's the actual spot?
He had compelling...
That one, there's no physical item
there
to
is.
Confirm.
Well, according... And he has video of all this shit. That's what's weird. It's not like he's just like, hey, I went out and I found this and this and this. Oh, and it gets even in more insane as the story goes on. And all the religious people call horse shit on everything he says. But... He has, there's video. He went out and did, you know, like documentaries on all of this as he did it. And he has very compelling evidence that these are the places he says they are.
Okay.
The parting of the Red Sea one, according to what it looks like, they sent down the little drone thing. But he went all in, and there is one spot, he described it, there's one spot along the Red Sea where it goes there that... For the most part, it's like 1,000 or however many feet deep all along. And there's this one little ridge when they did like underwater radar or whatever. And it's a pretty wide strip where it's only 400 feet deep all the way, you know, at the deepest point all the way across at this one point. And he goes down there and with his little drone thing and they have shit, and it sure as fuck looks like on camera. They're like, there's chariot wheels down there. There's all this shit, which would have been down there. Because remember, the story goes, they parted through, and this is 4,000 years ago, though. So everything's covered in barnacles and got shit growing on it. But they went through. The Jews got through the other side, and when the Egyptians chased after them, the sea closed back in and killed them all. And they have all kinds of weird shit down there. And there was like horse bones and, you know, or large animal bones. There was a lot of stuff that looked like some large group of people got wiped out or died down there with pieces of chariots and stuff. So that was neat. But it seems like, how does that last? He had that. And then at one point there was a pillar. And I'm like, how is this the first guy to find this? There was a pillar. And he went to Saudi Arabia. And he took pictures of it, and he's got all this documentation of everything, and it had shit carved into it. And according to him, they took it back, and it was ancient Hebrew, and it was deciphered. Basically, this was the point where King Solomon erected this in honor of the place where the Jews crossed the freedom back to the Promised Land, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And that was in Saudi Arabia when they came across. You went through out of Egypt into Saudi Arabia. So he then... went into going through all out Saudi Arabia and found all of these places, Mount Sinai. Now they know Mount Sinai is there. Mount Sinai is where Moses went to the top, got the Ten Commandments, where God resided on top of the mountain. All of those stories are there. And he finds all of these places and shows, hey, this is this and this is this. And as soon as he did, the Saudi Arabians came in and fucking arrested him. And then they took all of his shit and they had him in jail and they thought he was a spy for, I don't know, whoever, and him and his sons. And then they release him after a while and he tells them all of this. Hey, this is the spot where Moses was on top of the mountain. This was here. This was where Moses used his staff and struck the rock and the rock split. And you can see, and he shows all of this and gives his theories on everything. And immediately... He then goes home, drops off his stuff, and then wants to go back to Saudi Arabia and gets permission to go back. But when he gets back, the Saudi Arabian government has now built a fence around all of that shit that wasn't there before. And the fucking pole that he had with the ancient Hebrew writing on it is sawed off at the base and is gone. And this is just a matter of months from when he was there, and there are guards positioned all the way around it. And apparently that's all still there. But and there's no reason why all that's there, other than he told them this is what it was, and they thought enough of that theory to seal it all the fuck off. And remember,
right.
Saudi Arabians are no friends of Israel. So that was interesting. And then this is where it gets insane, insane. Insane, 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 insane. So he's now in, they fly to Israel to, he anything he does, he gives to the Israeli Antiquities Department or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. And
stuff.
Right.
So he's over there and he's healing from what he was doing over in Saudi Arabia. He got sunburned really bad, like almost had to require hospitalization.
Okay.
And while he's there, he's in the ocean with his son swimming in the healing salt waters, whatever, and he finds some shit in the water that ends up being some crap that the Israelis had been looking for a long time. He literally stubs his toe on it and fucking finds it and is like, hey, this is it. And he's got video of all this. And because he found this, whatever these things were that they wanted, that they'd been searching for, they gave him a permit to dig, to excavate right at the spot that he says is the crucifixion spot.
Okay.
So they start digging and they come down and they find a spot and there's holes in the ground when they get down where crosses were in, where people were crucified, blah, 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 blah. All right. This is where it gets incredibly, insanely unbelievable, his story. And he has this all in his documentary. Well, they're digging down in the tunnels down there. And what they were looking for was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is the most significant piece of religious memorabilia on the planet.
I've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, yes. And by the way, the biblical stories, the Ark of the Covenant would just fucking shoot lightning at and fucking kill people and stuff like that. If you weren't worthy and you went in the room with the Ark of the Covenant, you were fucking struck down. The Ark of the Covenant is a gold box, solid gold box.
It kills Nazis.
Because they were bad. But no, but that's based on that. That story is based on biblical stories of people that weren't worthy going in the room with the fucking Ark and getting zapped like that. Like, and the Nazis, of course, would be bad guys that would be worthy of getting zapped. So he is looking for this and keeps digging, 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 and then finally pops into a room after years, and voila, the Ark of the Covenant is there. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is so significant because it was in the Temple of Solomon. It is where God resided. They literally walked through the desert with God in a box, and that's – God was in the box, and in that box are the Ten Commandments and a bunch of incredibly sacred Jewish – things that okay. in all religion, because Christianity is based on the same thing, and the incredibly sacred things that are inside of that box. And it was missing for 600 years before Jesus was even born. That thing is gone. So they think that either it was raided by someone came in because they were getting their asses kicked and taken over all the time. Remember the Romans had it and blah, and people would come in and raid them and other tribes and stuff come in and take all the shit and run away. So they think through history that at that point it was just stolen and it's lost to history. But his theory was that another king knew they were going to be taken over. And he quoted this biblical story of when whoever the hell the invaders were, they were smart. They came in and they basically built a wall around the city, and it took them years and years and years, and waited and starved the Jews out. Nothing could get into the city. And when they started building the wall, the king knew they were going to be screwed and had his people take the ark so that it would not be taken by enemies and hidden. And for whatever reason, this guy thought it was in an area. Well, guess what? It ends up being, according to him, directly, exactly straight down from the spot where Jesus was crucified, about another 60 feet underneath it, exactly underneath the spot where the crucifixion of Jesus takes place, but in a cave, which wasn't there at the time. And this was years and years later. So he's digging under the spot of the crucifixion and finds what he says is the Ark of the Covenant. It is there. He tells the Israeli authorities. And of course, there's a lid on it, because if that thing's ever found, according to the Bible, the end of the world is coming soon. Because what happens is once the temple was destroyed. Now there's a mosque, and it's alleged that in that same spot where the fucking most holy spot of all for Jews was, they tore it down and they built a mosque on top of it. And from that same exact spot is allegedly where Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, ascended to heaven. Okay. So it's also the most sacred spot in Islam, as well as the most sacred spot to Christians and Jews. This one spot. Now, okay. According to the Bible, at some point, they're going to level that mosque and they're going to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. When that happens, World War III breaks out. The end of the world is on its way. All that fun stuff. But this guy shows all this stuff. And, of course, he tried to take pictures of the – any photographs he had of the Ark, it wouldn't be – they were all blurry and it wouldn't come out. And it has supposedly all these powers and blah, 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 blah. And he swears there was an angel in the chamber when he went in there and this and that. And the story gets even more crazy, but I will stop there because it's unbelievable as it is. But the thing that's crazy about all this, he documents and puts a really cool case together – of how all of this came about. And it's all theory, and it's all his theory.
But if he found the Ark, then he knows who has it, right?
Apparently it's still in that hole. It's down underneath. And they haven't taken it out, according to him. But then he was also then, at that point, banned by the Israelis from going back in there, and he couldn't go in, and they took it over. So this guy's finding shit, and then it's being taken over by governments that are – right. According to him. And the Noah's Ark one, pretty cool, looked like a spot.
I thought somebody found the Noah's Ark a long ass time ago.
They did find a spot.
Remember?
According to him, though, his theory is because he found a very interesting place where a big ass fucking boat on it's in Turkey on top of Mount Ararat or whatever the hell it's called. And his theory is that it did land up there. But then remember, this was thousands and thousands of years ago.
Right.
And that over the course of time, at some point in ice or whatever, basically the bottom of it broke off up there and it slid down the mountain a little ways, almost miles down on ice or mud flow or whatever it was over at some point. And then isn't even on that mountain, but is nearby where his spot site was. And it's all, you know, petrified stuff, and it's definitely the shape of a boat, a very, very, very big boat, and in that spot, but grass is growing on it and everything. Like I said, 100% unprovable, everything he says, and religious experts shit on it left and right, and everyone says he's a fucking nut job, but I'm like, why have I never heard of this guy? And I saw it was one of those YouTube holes I got sucked into. I was watching something else, and that popped up, and I clicked on it, and then I'm like, holy fuck, this is crazy.
Now you got all night to watch TV, huh?
Yes. On nights. Dude, the other night, I was nonstop dealing with – last night, I didn't do anything. I watched fucking computer shows all night long. I never moved. The night before, I never stopped working. I was up the entire night.
You never know, right?
Tonight's going to be a bad night. I already know. It's my Friday, and I have a detoxer, a new person.
Okay, so you know that person will be up, and you'll have stuff to deal with.
Oh, they'll be up, but I have to also go. When I have a detoxer, I have to physically go into their room every 15 minutes and make sure they're alive.
Oh, God. I would have thought it would have been like once an hour.
No, every 15 minutes I have to write where they are, what they're doing, and then at certain times, like once an hour, I have to do it's in essence, we call it a breath check, but there's a
you check them out.
No, you literally count their breaths.
Okay.
And then write it down, how many times they're breathing in a minute, and write it. It's so annoying. Detoxers are a pain in my butt. That's why sober living is so much better. You don't have detoxers.
Right.
And that's where the real gnarly shit happens, too. That's where people fucking go into cardiac arrest, stop breathing, die.
Right.
Get suicidal.
A lot of fun stuff. Yeah, a lot of bad shit can happen during detox. Huh? Yeah,
detox is not fun. But that is it. So what else has happened, Jack? We are out of time. Holy shit. Yep.
We'll wrap it up, I guess.
I rambled about Jesus. Jesus in the Ark. And by the way, that guy, he's dead now, but he found all of that shit inside of like a 10 or 12 year period. every major, major religious archaeological
government thing. Killed him. Is there a conspiracy theory around that?
No, he came back to the United States and he was doing tours, and there's a lot of video of him giving speeches and talking about, hey, I was here and here and this happened. Died. And he just died. Yeah. He was an older guy at the time. So he just died. He died recently, like 2008.
Huh.
And this was all
that's
in the
11 years ago.
but he found this shit in like the 70s.
In the 70s, okay.
And 80s is when he found all that stuff. So he was older when he found it. So I got to imagine he was actually really old by 2008.
Oh,
man. All right. So that is all. Let's go home. And
all right.
I'm going to go to work and play with drunk people.
Nice.
All right. Talk to you next week. Till then, peace out.
Check off.
Goodbye.